You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to another episode of Uncensored, brought to you by our friends over at gunbroker.com. The spot to go get your turkey gun if you have not already done that. Maybe you need a new choke and some ammo. Turkeys are out. We saw turkeys. All three of us saw the same turkeys on the side of the road this morning, out puffed up. And Derek said they're lecking, which is new terminology for me.
I've never heard of that.
They're establishing their lecking orders. So, like,
So it's like a fancy way of saying pecking order?
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's how a Chinese person says.
Oh, my God.
All right.
lecking order.
No, it's just what they do this time of year, because, as our good buddy Paul Campbell knows, because he got, you know, just crucified by the internet about a year or 2 years ago talking about this conversation. We're talking about this, but in your turkey world, like, really only your very dominant male turkeys are going to be doing the breeding. The other ones might get lucky from time to time, but for the most part, it's the dominant ones. So that's what they're doing right now, is establishing who's the dominant one.
So Paul Campbell got crucified because this was when he was talking about shooting
a Jake, because he said that Jake will never breed, which he's not wrong, but like there is the one maybe percent chance that Jake will breed something that season.
Yeah. On average.
Yeah, but the people of the internet did not like him saying that, so.
Well, if you don't like Paul Campbell, I got a problem with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's apparently what they're doing. They're out in the field, puffed up, and I've seen them out there since second week or so of January, which is when I brought this up to Paul, because, you know, it seems early for any sort of strutting. But yeah. They're all puffed up. That one has a massive beard.
Yeah.
He is thick.
Just a paintbrush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big bird. So, yeah, head on over to Gunbroker. Get your turkey stuff ready to rock. I was down, speaking of turkeys.
And Paul Campbell. Did you meet up with him?
I did for a brief moment in time.
Yeah.
As soon as I got there, walked in and got to say hi to him for a little bit. He's just buzzing.
Oh, I'm sure.
He's just lit up.
This is Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Man. He's obviously his goal there is raising money for the NWTF, and he was well on his way to his, you know, getting to his goal or to his amount. He didn't reach his final goal, but he raised a bunch of money for him. But, you know, he's smiling. He's got his sport coat on. It's early in the morning. He's rocking his readers because we're getting old and he's looking at something. Like, yep, he's in his element right now. Just vibrating at the NWTF show. So I went down there on Thursday, the first day that the sports show is open. And I've been to the show before. It's great crowd. Ton of great brands are there. Because I run into a bunch of friends from the industry and say hi to people. And, you know, we've kind of seen people at a couple shows shot in ATA throughout the year. So it was good to see some of them again. But tons of stuff going on. And, you know, it's funny, if you haven't been to that show, you will hear turkey yelps in your dreams that night.
It's just like after turkey season, or like middle of turkey season for me.
Yeah.
Because you're hearing turkeys for real and you're calling so much, and I'll be laying in bed at night and I'll hear like a far off gobble.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
It's a remarkable thing for how much energy and excitement there is for the wild turkey at that show. But tons of duck calls too.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of them. So that's kind of what the backdrop for the trade show or the show floor is, turkey calls and duck calls. Some really cool stuff. Montana Knife Company was there, which I don't think I've ever seen them at a show before. They had kind of a small selection that they had brought with them because it's a consumer show, so people are selling. But yeah, tons of great energy. Really liked that show. Got to see our boy Rick Lamar.
I was going to ask you if you met up with Rick too.
Some of his turkey calls that he had entered for the competition, and I actually ended up taking my sons with me so they could experience it and watch me work a little bit. You know, I think there's some value in them seeing dad work.
Follow dad's footsteps.
So, but yeah, I took them over there and showed them Rick's stuff in the competition room, and it was really cool. Some of the calls that get entered for that contest, I didn't realize this, but there's art pieces that I wouldn't even call like a functional call. Like some of them, like, it doesn't. And one of them, I'll have to show you guys to it and get this to Dwayne so we can throw it up on the video. But it was literally a roaster turkey with a baster as the striker. And so this is entered into the contest. Obviously not a functional call, but, you know, it was just kind of entertaining to go around and see some of the, like, real art pieces that people have entered. And, you know, some of them are pretty wood, or, you know, they're painted and look really cool. So it was fun.
Yeah, I was gonna go down there one day. So you said you went Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was gonna go Friday, meet up with Rick and try to catch Paul. I knew Paul would be super busy, but at least see him for a minute or whatever. But we just had too much going on. Didn't happen, but glad you got to go.
Yep. Yeah, I was hoping to get to see Rick while I was there. Mm-hmm. And then also Logan. Logan was going at some point over the weekend, but he was originally going Thursday. I've changed his plan, so I didn't get to see him. But, you know, it's there's the cool thing is, too, there's a ton of Go Wild members down in that area. So the last few times we've gone to that show, we see a bunch of people. They see you wearing Go Wild stuff and stop you. I don't think I saw anybody this year from, like, that perspective, but talked to Vukurvich for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his pops were down there, so good times, good folks. Turkey season's here. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We can't forget, we were talking about, and you probably into this too, because I don't think you were here when we were talking about last week. We were talking about trying to do a two-day float on the Cumberland and camping somewhere along the way, and then pulling out for Kurvich's place. Yeah. So don't forget about that. We get that on the calendar.
Just figure out timing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, obviously, they're going to have people down there turkey season, and then we're all busy trying to figure out turkey season, so maybe it's May time-ish.
Maybe. Or maybe we could do it before turkey season starts.
I mean, the good thing about that river is it's going to fish good all summer.
Yeah.
So you're not talking like a cast and blast?
That's
what I was thinking you were saying.
You want to go shoot turkeys in? Hey, I don't know, maybe.
That'd be fun.
What do you mean?
There's WMA.
I thought there was a WMA that was right there.
Yeah, there is on Cumberland.
Yeah.
I mean, we could. I don't see why not.
Dan's like, oh, hunting?
You got that? Do you have a hunting truck now? I know part of the sales pitch to Amanda was, I'm going to get this because I'm going to use it for hunting a lot. So now I'm going to hold you to that.
Yes, that is true. And it did come in handy on my four-day trip where I was just sleeping in the back of the truck.
You know what else would have come in handy?
What?
Rain gear.
I had rain gear. I just didn't want to get wet.
I didn't want to get
I
out.
I had rain gear, but I didn't want to get my rain gear wet.
Yeah, I didn't want to be soaked for, you know, have wet clothes for the rest of the trip.
In your defense, I have sat in the truck and pouring down rain, but there was a lot of lightning, and I've waited stuff out, you know, not wanting to get out and get wet.
And this was, the forecast was like, wait 2 hours and it'll let up, and It did. So that made all the difference.
Yeah. Those deer were moving right after it stopped, and you missed them.
Yeah.
Probably moving deer in it.
Yeah. But no, yeah, that's cool. I've got your spinning rod. I still need to set up. I try to do that. I've got so much gear.
It's not a spinning rod.
Isn't it?
The one you bought for me?
Yeah.
It's a baitcaster.
Oh, okay. Well, that's how much gear I have. I've forgotten what I've bought. Wow. Got a new gun. I got my new bow.
Dude, this is the month for you, man.
I don't have the money to set up like the bow. I'm like, I'm going to have to wait a month or two till finances can recover to get it set up and everything.
I think you'd be surprised how much you can figure out yourself and do.
I was looking at it, and it's like, you know, putting in the peep sight and all that sort of stuff. It's, you need presses and
yeah, but getting the
cutting
peep,
arrows down.
Getting the peep tied in. Cutting arrows, none of those are expensive things. I wouldn't go to them to set up your draw length. I wouldn't go to them to establish your draw weight. Like,
I probably won't do that, but it's probably going to hit the point where I can do a la carte pieces of the bow or just pay, you know, $20 more and have them do everything.
I mean, where I take my bow to, they'll do your draw weight and length and everything, like, for free.
Where do you go?
It's called Gun World Archery Supply in Cordon.
I'm not going to Cordon.
I mean, you can go right over here to Catawba Gun Co. And if you're taking arrows in and buy another half dozen arrows from them, they're probably going to do that stuff. You know, you're paying to have a peep sight put on. I mean, I was looking at
their price list, and like the top out of the price list was like $120 for everything. So I might just do that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
No.
You just get it all done once, and then you're ready to go.
You're not restringing it. To me, that's like, that's the expensive maintenance thing that you could do. So everything is pretty.
And then I still got to buy targets.
No, you don't.
What do you mean? What am I going to shoot at? Just cardboard box?
We have plenty of targets, and we just go down to the archery range at lunch break.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Right. Don't let not having a target hold you back. You got at least a half dozen arrows. Did I give you field points?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I have an old block that I could give you too. If you just like wanted to go shoot in your backyard.
Yeah.
I've got a bag target you can use because I have the dice that I can shoot.
He's talking about all the other home improvement stuff he's spending money on, but he won't go buy a $20 target.
Well, the reason he has to do that is because the man agreed to all these other things.
She knows. So I did the hall tree this weekend. Well, I didn't build it. We ended up buying pre-made cabinetry that we will assemble into the shape of a hall tree. So that's off my plate. We looked at new doors. We're going to put all new doors. And then that's like...
Exterior or interior doors?
Interior. Upstairs.
I thought you did.
Our gun room. Because I made, like, in my gun room, I made, when we moved into the house, I made a really fancy hidden door. Because it was going to be like where all the guns and gun supplies and all the... in our safe, you know, all the jewelry and whatnot. So we made like one of those hidden doors where it just looks like a wall section, and then you literally pull down on a painting and then the door pops open in the wall section. And I underestimated how much we'd be going in and out of that room. And I go in and out of that room multiple times a week. So that little hidden door is getting pretty heavy use. So we're just going to put in a normal, probably a steel door. And maybe like a fingerprint lock or something on it. But
$20 bag targets is too much. It's just out of the price range.
Those things add up. I've had a lot of $20 Amazon purchases recently that turn into, that just spent like $600.
I'll just bring in my bag target for you to use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beat up because I knew I was going to be getting a foam target at one point in time, and I shot broadheads into it just because I needed to. But it will work perfectly for what you're trying to do.
Yeah. I'm excited about all the gear. Excited about getting warm again.
Yeah, this temperature's been weird. I mean, I enjoy it.
I knew it was going to be 60 degrees tomorrow, and I woke up this morning, and it was 25 degrees. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, it was 18 the other day.
It snowed.
It's 60 4 days ago.
Saturday. We got a very light dusting Saturday.
But when it was coming down, it was coming down heavy. It wasn't sticking, but.
I never saw it coming down heavy.
Yeah, I never did either.
It was coming down heavy.
Was this like one of your night
owls? This is like a North Carolina thing. Like it was coming down real heavy.
No, it was coming down heavy. When was it? Saturday?
It came down. It started coming down. Well, it started. So I trapped. I set traps Friday. Traps Friday in the afternoon, and it started raining on me when I was out setting traps.
Oh, yeah. That was when it was sleeting and stuff.
And then Saturday morning when I went out to pull them, there was very light dusting.
We went out Friday night to get dinner, I think, and it was coming down pretty heavy. I had to turn on my fog lights. That's how heavy it was.
Wow.
Yep.
I missed it.
It only lasted like an hour, and it didn't really stick until the tail end of it. It was just melting as soon as it hit the road, but
yeah,
it was pretty flaky.
Well, Derek, trapping. You've been trapping.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of a precursor to your outing. How'd it go?
Well, I've been harming the muskrats these last like month or so. I've been trapping a whole lot of them.
I saw you said something about sending them into Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, Fish and Wildlife's doing like a population study on muskrats, and they want the whole muskrat. And I've trapped a lot this season, so I've decided I can pretty much everything I trap for the rest of the season, which is over in like a week. It ends at the end of this month. Everything, all the rest of the muskrats I trap, I'm just freezing whole, and they have like a whole tag you have to fill out for them with all kinds of information as far as like the kind of the direct ecosystem around the area that this muskrat was trapped from. They want coordinate, like GPS coordinates, to find out exactly where it was, all kinds of stuff like that. So I have to fill out, you know, one of these forms for every one of these muskrats that I trap now, and then I'm coordinating with somebody in Frankfurt, and when the season's over, they'll come pick up everything I got for this study. But yeah, they're just looking at the health, and I guess really mainly just the health of the muskrat population in the state. So they're just using these whole muskrat samples. They're looking at tissue, organ tissue, skin, all everything. Hmm. So that's what I'm doing with that. And then I got one otter on Saturday. I was setting for beavers, and I just know every time I set for beavers that there's a chance of getting otters. But I had a guy contact me. He's got like a mile-long driveway that goes over a creek, and he's got like 7 or 8 culvert pipes that allow the creek to flow through, and the beavers are just dragging sticks into these culvert pipes and they're kind of damming them up, but I don't think that's their intent. I don't think they're trying to actually dam it. I think they're just using the culvert pipes to store these sticks for like feed piles. Mm. That was the impression I was getting, the kind of sticks that they're dragging into these culvert pipes, and they're not damming it up. I mean, beavers know how to dam things up, and it's not.
It's like if they wanted to, they would have.
Yeah. So anyways, I set traps all along these culvert pipes, just trying to see if I could pull a beaver or two out of there, and got out there, and there's an otter, which I get one or two of them every season, and this is the first one I got this trapping season.
This is a creek. The pictures I saw, it didn't look like it was very deep either.
No. I think the deepest part that I was in setting traps was maybe knee deep. I asked the landowner if he did any smallmouth fishing in there, and he was like, a little bit. He said, you have to time it right, though, because come summer, it gets so dry. It's almost dry. That creek's completely dry almost. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been up to since waterfowl season ended. Just been doing trapping. Yep.
Chasing beaver.
Beavers, muskrats, otters. So
the muskrat, sending them into Fish and Wildlife, do you know, are they worried that the population's declining, or?
I don't know what they're really looking for. What I see is probably very anecdotal, you know, but to me it seems like the muskrat population's doing just fine. I would even argue increasing.
They seem like they would have, you know, obviously being a government agency, they would have limited resources, and they would have to pick and choose high priority things to do, you know, that. But they have a huge list of studies and animal populations they would want to do. So it just surprises me that muskrat they're putting that much effort into muskrats.
Well, I mean, it could be one of those like keystone species for something.
Could be. Yeah, well, and I also have a feeling that this is maybe a multi-state thing, because like I know,
federal thing.
Speaking of Paul Campbell and Andrew Muntz, they kind of made mention a few weeks ago on their podcast that Ohio Department of Natural Resources was doing something similar, because when they kind of do their little news around the state segment in the beginning of their podcast, they were saying that if anyone's trapping muskrats, ODNR is looking for, you know, muskrats, that they're conducting a study. It sounded pretty much exactly like what Kentucky's doing. And I want to say I also heard that Tennessee maybe is doing something similar. So I'm not so sure if this isn't like a multi-state.
Might be like some federal grant money involved or something.
I don't know. But whenever I get with the biologist to drop them off, I'll ask all the questions.
Speaking of fish and wildlife, licenses are new license years coming up.
For Kentucky, yes.
When they come out with the new licenses is when they come out with the new guidebook for the year.
Typically, yes. And
it's probably out now.
Yeah.
Do we know? I never heard anything about the trail cam thing.
So I can try to find... I was talking with someone at BHA about this. There's actually a whole podcast dedicated to trail cams, and they very extensively hit this whole topic about what's going on in Kentucky. And I can try to find out where that is. And
you should, Mr. BHA District 9.
District 3.
President.
A coordinator. Director.
Assistant to the assistant.
Yeah. But I can try to find that podcast and get it forwarded to you guys. Yep. And we can maybe even throw it in some podcast notes here or whatever. But yeah, they talked very extensively about that whole
topic. It might be no news, it's good news sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard.
Well, and if they were debating it or talking about it a couple months ago, there's a good chance it wouldn't be decided for a year or two.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah, for something like that to get implemented, I'm sure.
Yeah, it usually takes a couple of years for all this stuff to get worked out.
You know, speaking of licenses, I thought about this not so long ago when something came up on a show and we trailed off elsewhere. But when I bought my North Carolina fishing license, because I bought a year, it's good for like year to date.
Tennessee's not the same way.
Not, you know, the
hunting year,
first of March or whatever ours is.
Tennessee is the same way. Their license is good for, you know, a year from purchase. So when I went down there back in September for the deer and bear hunt, my license and tags and everything is still good until September. So
yeah.
Well, I wonder if that's an out of state thing.
I don't think it is.
Non-resident or not? Yeah. I doubt it.
Usually for Tennessee, residents. I know it's not. I can't speak for North Carolina, but Tennessee, that's the way it is for resident and non-resident. Because I'm going to try to get down there. I'm going to have a very busy spring, so I don't know how much I'll actually be able to dedicate to this, but I'm going to, especially since my license and tags and everything are still good, I'm going to try to get down there this spring for a couple turkey hunts.
Are you going to try to do another bear hunt down there?
I don't know. I haven't really started planning my coming fall and winter yet as far as what all we're going to do. I have a pretty good buddy from high school who we kept up through college, and he's been living in Japan for the last 2 years and hasn't been able to hunt. He grew up hunting. We did a lot of hunting and fishing together when we were real young. So he's been out of the game for the last 2 years living in Japan. And so they're actually coming back in like a week. They'll be back for good. So we've already got a couple fishing trips in the books, but he's really wanting to go out west for a hunting trip. And since he's very behind the ball, he hasn't really been playing the points. It would have to be something we can do over the counter. So we're looking at our opportunities there. So hopefully another Western big game hunt this fall. Probably nothing too crazy. If I had to guess right now, it's probably going to be antelope.
We should do an antelope hunt.
It's very doable.
That's something that we should put together as let's plan it out, get 3, 4, 5 of us to go camp out.
It's very doable.
Very doable. I'm there.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about doing stuff here in Kentucky, which is very easily doable and we haven't done yet. But
we talk about doing a lot of stuff, but trying to get 4 people's schedules aligned is next to impossible, even just for a weekend fishing trip. So the earlier we get it on the books, the better.
I agree.
When do you have to, when in your mind would you have to plan something like that to go on a...
For antelope for it, every state's going to be different.
Wyoming.
Wyoming's kind of the big one. I would need to kind of refresh myself on the regulations for Wyoming, because I do believe the last 2 years things have started to change out there. It's kind of a death by a thousand cuts type deal. I think that they've had a couple really hard years, so the antelope populations are down a little there. Good thing about antelope, though, from what I understand, is they rebound very quickly. So as long as you have a year or two of good, you know, weather and all kinds of other things that affect their population, their populations will rebound very quickly. But right now, I believe they're down. And then more and more hunting pressure is a thing. As much as people do or don't want to talk about it, it is a thing. There's a huge growing interest in people going out west, and tags are becoming harder to get. It's just, it is what it is, good or bad. So I think Wyoming has made some changes when it comes to their antelope hunting. But when I went, I think you had to, they didn't have any true over-the-counter tags for rifle, at least. I think archery did. But it was, you'd have to put in, submit an application and everything like that. But it was for a lot of the units, and they were still very good units that you could easily get on antelope, was 100% draw odds. And I believe those applications had to be in by like the end of May or beginning of June for that season. So that would be obviously.
So you want to start figuring that out.
If you're serious about it, you would have to get all that stuff in by around that time.
Yeah.
But then everything else, you can kind of find out after the fact as far as logistics and planning and all that. The only thing you really need to know when you put in for the application is what unit you want to draw.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably a 25 thing for me. This it sucks, but like this year's spoken for as far as like our trip funds and what's going on family wise at the house, stuff we got to put money into. And so,
I mean, I almost think we should make a plan for this year that we execute next year. Like we do all the research now and think of where we want to go and whatever, and then we can be like, okay, we will execute this plan for next year.
With the asterisk of, as long as they don't change the regulations.
Yeah, that's always...
That's true.
That's always... As soon as you start figuring it out, things change. I mean, I started to get a pretty good understanding of a few western states, and then as soon as I start figuring it out, things change, and other things that were, you know, 100% draw odds change, and some things go from, you know, over-the-counter to now you have to have points for it. And
that's true.
It's you have to stay current with it. And since I didn't do a Western big game hunt last year, or I guess, yeah, this last hunting season that just ended, I just did the North Dakota waterfowl trip, which kind of Western, but not big game. But I, for a year, I haven't really paid attention to or focused on a lot of that stuff and thought about it. And then here we are again. It's like, oh no, I got to figure all this out again. So, and then don't get me wrong, I love Wyoming, and I'll go to Wyoming in a heartbeat to go hunt there again. But my other thing too, and I've talked about this in multiple places, but like I want to try to hunt every state. And if I just keep going back to Wyoming every year, that becomes harder and harder to do.
It's like our fishing trip.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to be the last year of walleye. Let's go do another fish in another location.
Yeah. I get that.
Although I did just last week, just cooked the last of the walleye. Do you guys still have any left?
I have a few fillets left, but not much.
Mine didn't last a month.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, we did have a fish fry with friends over, like intentionally.
I cooked up a lot of mine in one night at the firehouse. Yeah. I did a big fish fry for the guys on shift, and that went through a lot of it. But that's the other thing, though, is like I get what you're saying, Dan, but I also just love walleye. So it's like, well, I have to get more.
I do, too.
But you can buy it for 30-something a pound down the street.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Are you going after the species? Like, are we going for walleye, or are we going to hang out with friends and have a good time and, you know, relax a little bit? Because if that, for me, that's more of the point, is hanging out, taking some time off, doing some fishing. And I don't care what species it is, but it'd be just cool to... Because, I mean, the reality of it is, it's no offense to the people up there, but there's not a lot of stuff to do outside of fishing. And, I mean, it's a short trip. We're not doing, have a bunch of other time, but it'd be cool if we went somewhere that was also had some good restaurants or decent bars or decent nightlife.
I have said, and I will continue to say, that we need to go chase redfish.
I agree.
It is more complicated, though, because then you're talking one, two, three, maybe two or three guys to a boat.
Yeah, and that's a
kind of scenario.
It's a bigger haul too.
Length of travel.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to factor that in.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But we got a free place to stay.
I need to talk about
Liz's aunt.
I need to talk. I need to talk to you about Florida too.
Yeah. I cannot recommend that place enough.
Yeah. So.
Well, we're coming up on time, so we're going to shut her down. And I appreciate you all being here and listening and follow along with us. And then, obviously, we're going to be talking a lot more turkey stuff coming up. Again, reminder to go get your stuff geared up now. I've already noticed things that are starting to sell out, so don't be waiting until the last week of March to go find your stuff. Get on it now. Check out gunbroker.com. See what kind of ammo deals are out there for some 12-gauge, 20-gauge, whatever you shoot. Be ready for turkey season. We'll see you all next week.
See ya.